Many years ago, when Kathy and I first got married, we heard a lot of teaching about tithing and about giving. And we understood the concept of, well, you know, if you don't tithe, you know, you're going to be cursed. And so, you know, we tithe. I mean, we don't want to be cursed. You know, who wants to be cursed? So we tithe. And then we also heard the teachings about, well, you know, if you really want to be blessed, then you need to give in offerings. You know, have a need, sow a seed, and that kind of thing. So we did. And, you know, times how that, you know, you write your check and they tell you to, you know, what are you sowing the seed for? Write it on the memo line of your check. Well, we did that. And we just, all that stuff we did, and we were sincere. And I'll even tell you what happened one time, and I say I will not start crying, hallelujah. There was a, I forget what they called it, but it was a special sacrificial offering. Yeah, she knows what I'm getting ready to say. And the way it was presented, you were to give, you know, of your absolute best. And you know, Kathy loves Jesus so much. She put her wedding rings in that offering because she loved Jesus. And there were other people there that night that did the same thing. And I was okay with it because I knew she was doing it because she loved Jesus. Her heart was broken. Her wedding rings. I mean, ladies, you understand. And she cried. Not. She was torn. The loss of the wedding rings, but at the same time, she loved Jesus. And that's what she wanted to do. And I respected that. And I actually was on staff at that church at that time. And I was in charge of all the finances of that ministry. And I saw everything that came in. All the wedding rings. All of the things that were given. Well, there were so many people who were just, they didn't complain, but they were heartbroken over some of this. And I guess I wasn't involved with this, but I guess there were some staff members that talked with the pastor about it, and he realized this is an issue. And so what he did, he said, you know, you've given because you love Jesus. If you would like to redeem back this, whatever it was you gave, watch, wedding rings, he said, you can do that, and it doesn't matter what you give. In other words, you can give a dollar, and whatever you gave, you will get it back. Now, that was wisdom. That was wisdom. And so we gave an amount. I don't remember what it was, but we gave an amount, and you know, she got her rings back. But here's the thing. I look back on it, and I know that the leadership of the church meant well. I know they did. And I know that they were trying to help people be blessed. I do not question that at all. However, that's just not the right thing to do. It's just not. And as the years passed, you know, we continued tithing and sowing and all that. But then, I mean, this went on for like 14, 15 years of our marriage. Well, we began to see another side of all of this. And, you know, Gary's teaching helped quite a bit. But we began to see another side of this, began to understand that, you know, for one thing, we're not living under what used to be. We're living under a whole new relationship with God. We're His children. And Jesus introduced a concept more than once that was absolutely phenomenal to maybe that legalistic mindset in Scripture. And I want to read one verse to you relative to that. And it's in 1 John, no, it's not 1 John, it's John. Gospel of John 15, verse 16. John 14, 15, 16, 17 is like Jesus' final discourse before his arrest, crucifixion, and so forth. And in John 15, verse 16, he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Do you realize what he's saying there? He's talking to people who are still under the law. And what he's saying is, when this transition is complete, you're no longer bound by a legalistic system of giving to get. And that's just a simplified way of saying it. He said, no, from now on, out of this relationship that you and I have, and that you will have with the Father, all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask your Father in my name for him to give it to you. Now, when all you've known is tithe or die, give or suffer, and all of a sudden you find out, wait a minute, you mean I don't have to do that? All I have to do is ask? Seriously? I mean, is that even scriptural? I mean, I know Jesus said it, but is it scriptural? Now, that's a challenge. Because when you make a decision to believe that, the very next offering that you don't write your tithe check, you start watching for the lightning bolts. You start wondering, is the earth going to open up and swallow me? You know, you kind of wonder, God, this better be right, because if not, I'm in a heap of trouble. Well, you know what? I don't think Jesus would lie. Therefore, it's true. Now, here's what I can tell you. If you take everything that Kathy and I, quote, received as a result of our 10% and our sow the seed to meet the need and expecting the 30, 60, 100-fold, and I mean all the promises they make, if you combined all of that in that, just say, 15-year period, within the next, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, we received more by asking and believing than all those other years combined. And I can remember there was a particular need that came up, and we didn't have the cash in the bank for it. And so I prayed. I said, now, Father, here's what we need. Here's the need right here. Here it is. Here's the amount. Here's the deal. I'm not going to sow anything for this. I'm not even going to sow a penny for this. All I'm going to do is ask. So, Father, in Jesus' name, may I have? And told him what it was. And you know, in 7 days, it came in. 7 days. And I'm thinking, man, all that sowing stuff didn't work this quickly. Look at this. He actually heard me, and he knew that I hadn't been tithing. Now, we didn't stop giving. We did not diminish the amount we were giving. We never diminished it. It's just that now we weren't doing it. We weren't, you know, buying protection. It's one thing to give to your Father God. It's another thing to give to your Godfather. And I thought, glory to God, this is cool. It really works. To make a really long story short, leave out all the details. This building that we're in It was given to our ministry. All the property, the building, everything completely signed over to our ministry. And get this, I never sowed a seed for a building. It just happened. God moved on the hearts of people, and it just happened, and it was all completely signed over, debt-free. And this is why when I talk to preachers and pastors, and well, you know, we need a building. We're going to, you know, try to figure out how to get a building. They talk about all the things they're doing. I try to encourage them. Look, let me tell you what happened with me. And I know God can do it. I know He can provide debt-free. I know He can. Now, I don't know how He does it with each person, each ministry, but I know He can do it. And sometimes, over the years, He has provided things. Other times, He's provided the finances to buy the things. But I haven't sown a seed in years and years and years. This ministry, oh, we support other ministries, but we don't sow seeds out of the ministry to try to get God to bless us. I mean, we just don't do that. We give because we want to be a part of the kingdom, and we don't give to just everybody. And let me tell you one thing that we do. It's a little different. We used to have a food pantry here. You know, people need food. They come to get food and all that. Okay, well, have you noticed where our church is located? It's not like we're low income around here. And so we hardly ever got any calls for food. And some of the stuff, you know, would just sit on the shelves until it was outdated. And then, you know, we just ask people, it's outdated, but if you want it, you can take it home. So we got rid of our food pantry. But what we do is we send money now and then to the Dayton Food Bank because they're already established and they're reaching the people that need this. So instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, we're a part of something that is already working and in process. So that's a part of what we do with the money that comes in here. Now, what I want to try and do here is encourage you. You don't have to. Now, when God says give, you give. And you purpose in your heart what to do. But God's not going to tell you if you don't give, you're in big trouble. If you don't give, I'm not going to heal you or your kids or your mother-in-law, or your dog, or your cat, or anything else. No, it doesn't work that way. God loves us. He is our Father. And He will provide. But see, if our mindset is, well, I have to do, and I have to give, and I have to earn, you know what? We become like the prodigal son's brother. What's wrong with you? I've served you all my life, and you've never given me anything. And the father says, excuse me, you've been in my household the whole time. If you wanted a fatted calf, why didn't you ask? You see what I'm saying? Guys, I'm telling you, this works. It works. Now, I will give. And I will continue to give. And this ministry will continue to give. But we're doing it because we want to fellowship with God to get the message out, win people to Jesus, and make disciples. I mean, really, that's the way to sum it up. And here in this offering tonight, maybe you've been raised in a, boy, you better give, and boy, you better, you know what? I'm not trying to create conflict between you and your church and your pastor. But what I'm saying is this, through Jesus Christ, there is a more effective and efficient way.